Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Because we're going to be talking and sharing about the rally that took place in the city of Pensacola to save the cross at Bayview Park. Well, since then, a federal judge has ruled that the city of Pensacola can be given more time to appeal. This is so important because on today's program, we're going to be hearing from speakers at this rally. You're going to be hearing from some businessmen who attended, as well as ministers, as they share their heart about why is it important for us as a community and as a church to stand for our constitutional rights. This has been such an encouraging time, really, when we think about this, because when you'll see in these videos and you'll see from these interviews that the church really stood together. They stood united and they stood for principle as well as their constitutional right. I want to go straight to this rally because we're going to unpack this more for you because we have some updates on what is happening now with the court proceedings. But we want to go to this rally that took place in the city of Pensacola, and we're going to hear just a little bit from one of the speakers. Watch this.
In their proper jurisdictions, that God had appointed the church for a function and the state for a particular function, and those jurisdictions needed to remain in some sense separate. Jefferson said this in 1808, "Certainly no power to prescribe any religious exercise or to assume authority in religious discipline has been delegated to the general government." By general, he meant national government. Now listen carefully. "It must then rest with the states as far as it can be in any human authority." Did you catch that? What he was saying was, while the national government can't prescribe religion, and he was consistent with that in his thought, it did not prevent states and local municipalities from doing the very thing behind us.
This is so important because just four people in the city of Pensacola had a problem with this cross that stood, has been standing for nearly 75 years. We want to go straight to the rally. But before we do, actually, we want to talk about some of the things that are developing in this court case. And according to the USA Today, the U.S. District Court Judge Roger Vinson suspended his order, Steve, to remove the cross by July the 19th. Now, what happened is that the judge ruled on June the 19th in favor of the Freedom From Religion Foundation and the American Humanist Association. I think these allegedly four people who had a problem with the cross standing for 75 years at Bayview Park. In this ruling, they said that the cross had to be removed from the park because it violated the separation of church and state, which, by the way, that statement, church and state,
is not in the Constitution.
Is not in the Constitution.
Yeah.
It's not in any of the Founding Fathers' documents. In fact, it was in a letter that Jefferson wrote to the Anabaptists saying something completely different.
Taken fully out of context of what it was originally
context,
applied for.
And people have just ran with it for years. Right now, the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty is representing the city, Steve, on the appeals process free of charge. Now, if you know anything about the Beckett Fund, they actually stood with Hobby Lobby when Hobby Lobby took their case all the way to the Supreme Court, and they were trying to not have to comply with the Obamacare that was basically making all businesses
mandating
them to provide abortion. And if they didn't, I'm not abortion, birth control, but if they didn't comply, they were going to be fined $1.6 million per day.
Per day.
Per day.
Yeah.
But thank you for the Green family. They persevered, as well as the Beckett Fund. I mean, these guys are amazing. They took them on, and they went all the way to Supreme Court in one. So these are the same group.
It was a huge answer to
prayer.
This is mighty.
Yes. So this is a big deal. According to USA Today, Judge Vincent said that the cross had a rich defended history in Pensacola, but he defended his removal order, saying it was bound by the Supreme Court precedent. He's quoted as saying, "However, I concluded my order with an invitation for the Supreme Court to revisit and reconsider its establishment clause jurisprudence. Apparently taking the first steps to end this, the city has filed a motion to stay my judgment pending an appeal to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and if necessary, to the Supreme Court. So this case is moving forward.
Yeah.
This is actually the beginning of a full victory because they're going to appeal this thing. If they don't win in the appeals court, it's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court, and there's enough, precedence for this cross to stand. It's been standing there since 1941, 75 years. But what we want to do is go, this is what's happening now, but prior to this event and prior to what's happening in the court, there was a rally in the city of Pensacola, and hundreds attended this rally, Steve, to be able to stand and to keep the cross. Yeah. And you're going to hear from speakers, you're going to hear from business people, from ministers, on why it is important for us to stand. Because we're seeing what's happening in court, but this movement that started was quite organic.
Yeah.
And many believe it's as a result of this movement of hundreds of believers standing together in unity, standing for the Constitution, saying, not on my watch. I'm going to be counted.
Which highlights how important it is when you see believers coming together to respond to that. How a judge orders one way, they're responding, and all of a sudden you're seeing it.
The progression.
Go a completely different direction.
Well, let's go straight to the rally because we're going to hear from a medical doctor, actually an obstetrics and gynecologist, who's going to be sharing why it's important for us to stand. Watch this.
But I practice obstetrics and gynecology here in Pensacola, and over the past 20 years, I've delivered over 3,000 babies. I've delivered babies of some of your guests who were speakers, and I've delivered some of the babies of both of you out in the audience. In 1999, when I finished my residency, the practice I took over was the largest provider of abortion services in our tri-county area. We purchased the practice on day one. We stopped all abortions. We stopped all of referrals for abortions. And then we also had a restrictive covenant signed by the physician where he could not practice any medicine in the tri-county area for the next 2 years. We shut that down. Was it easy? No. Was it the right thing to do? Absolutely, it was the right thing to do. Not just because of my spiritual background, not just because I could see the personhood of the life within the womb. It was the right thing to do constitutionally. When you look at the preamble of the Constitution, it says, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Who are our posterity? That's my kids. That's the grandkids that I've never seen. That's my great-grandkids. But our posterity are also the unborn. We're supposed to secure those blessings of liberty to the unborn and our posterity. What are the blessings of liberty? This is one right here. We are peacefully assembling and saying, no, we don't like this and we want to change this. And we don't need a special deviation in order to get this cross to stand. There's nothing wrong with the cross standing on public property. I was up in Washington, D.C., and when I was up in D.C., I had dinner with Clarence Thomas. It was a very fortunate opportunity for me. But when we toured around Washington, D.C., you can see scripture. You can see our background. You can see our foundation that this nation was founded on all throughout. You go to the Washington Monument, you go over to Arlington National Cemetery. There are over 400,000 graves in Arlington National Cemetery. The vast majority have a little white cross. Is that an establishment of a religion? No, it's not an establishment of a religion. Even when you go into the Supreme Court, there are big oak doors right there in the front of the Supreme Court. And you see carved into the wood, you see two big tablets shaped just like we picture our Ten Commandments. I asked our guide, y'all have the Ten Commandments right there on the door? And he goes, no, that's the Bill of Rights. Bill of Rights, I just came from the National Archives. I saw the Declaration of Independence. I saw the Constitution. They were not carved. No. Yeah, we have the freedom of speech, but we also have a peaceful right to assembly. Thank you. But when you look, I always think sometimes of Proverbs 17. You know what Proverbs 17:28 says? Even a fool can be seen as wise if he learns to keep silent. But we will let people talk. But when you look at the Constitution, you look at the the Supreme Court. There are these two tablets. They're written there representing the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. Our founding documents were not written on tablets. They were written on parchment. So our duty today is to say, this is part of our scriptural foundation. It's what this nation was founded on. We're going to stand for it. We're going to secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. We're going to stand for them. We're going to protect them. Thank you very much. God bless you all. And God bless the United States. And you know what? When the Supreme Court comes into session, you know what the crier says? Loud as he can, when the Supreme Court comes into session, every single time that they come into the session, the crier will say, God bless the United States and this honorable court. Is that an establishment of a religion when the crier in the Supreme Court says, God bless the United States? No. It's part of our heritage, part of our history, and it should stay part of our history.
Wow, this is amazing, Steve.
This is powerful.
These voices are awesome. I'm telling you, this event was so well attended. Even had someone who wanted to come and get the mic said, no, this is not for that.
Yeah.
This is a rally to rally the church, to rally people that care about our constitutional rights and to say, listen, we're not going to move off of this. Mm-hmm. And if you notice in the previous 8 years, it was just attack upon attack upon attack.
Yeah.
And so many believers today are saying, you know what? Americans in general, but believers right now are saying, we're going to stand.
Yeah.
We're going to stand for the truth. I'm going to be counted, and I'm going to be one that says, no, I'm not going to stay at home.
Yep.
I have rights, and we're not going to settle for this.
Yeah, and you look at what he said in regards to the fact that we have the right to peaceably assemble, and that in itself is in the Constitution for so long. We were talking about in the previous administration, people were being almost condemned and basically criticized for what they were standing up for, and then they begin to question. It's just like, can we stand up for our rights? Is it okay to speak out?
People were wondering, can I even open my mouth about this?
Exactly.
Do I have a voice?
Exactly. So you saw this continual, all of a sudden just kind of like chipping away of what we believe were, I guess that's not my right. But the truth is no, the Constitution says you can, and we have that right to peaceably assemble.
That's amazing. We want to go straight to Mike Hill. He's an Allstate Insurance agent and former House representative, but he shares his heart about this event and three options that were on the table at that time. Some of these we've already, they're proceeding and moving towards these options, but I want you to hear from Mike himself. Watch this.
As a military member, I said an oath to protect and defend our Constitution of the United States. The Constitution is such a valuable document. It gives us our rights and our freedoms, our protection against a tyrannical government. And that preamble to that Constitution of we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Our founding fathers put that in place, I believe, was a God-inspired document, not God-breathed, but a God-inspired document that did this simple thing, let my people go, set the people free, so that they can worship me in spirit and in truth and prosper. That's what this rally is all about. There are several steps we can take now to keep this cross up. One, we can appeal the decision. And we have the Liberty Council, which said that they are willing to take up the case all the way to the Supreme Court if need be. So that's one of the steps we're going to do, is appeal the decision. Another step we can do is to lease the property. We lease the property to a private nonprofit organization for a long-term period, and what we will do then is maintain the property, maintain the cross, and keep it open to everyone in the public. Another option is to buy the property. So we are looking at all three of those options right now as we speak, and we believe that one of those is going to be successful enough where this cross is going to remain in this location. That's right. I would say to all the citizens along the Gulf Coast that when an event is happening, when you see that our religious liberties are being challenged, that you must show up. You must show up in numbers. Be a part. And this is why. Years from now, when your children or grandchildren ask the question, what did you do when they were trying to remove the cross? Did you just stay at home, sit and watch TV, do nothing? Or did you come out in support of our religious freedom? Did you come out to make your stand that you are not going to be a Christian who's going to roll over, but instead you will stand? Stand for the cross. Stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, if you go to change.org, you go to that location and there's a petition that can be signed that will go to the mayor and the city council of Pensacola demanding that we keep this cross in this location.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, just soon after this rally, you saw things just start going in motion. We want to encourage you. Listen, if you don't have a copy, a personal copy of the Constitution, you need to get one. I mean, you can get it on Amazon, 99 cents. You can actually print it offline, but you need to familiarize yourself with the Bill of Rights. And this is important. People have died. They've served us for us to have these rights. We have people coming from all over the world to be a part of this nation because the rights that we've been freely given. They're not free because people, you know, they've paid.
That's right.
But you need to familiarize yourself. This is so encouraging.
You know, I think that's so powerful too, to understand the fact of just like what he's saying is like there's options. You know, we can lease the land, you know, we can purchase land. But like you were saying before, he's talking about it because the fact that where the president is, it's not working. And we've got to realize the fact that we have a voice and, you know, calling us out. You know, when you see this happening, we're going to have to answer for what we did and also for what we didn't do. Because thank God that the generation before us, just like what you're saying, they fought for the rights that we now have. It didn't just happen.
Yeah.
There was a generation that was faithful, that was carrying the baton and pass it on to us.
What are we going to do with this baton?
Exactly. The baton's in our hands and we're passing this on to our generation that's coming afterwards. And they're going to ask us, what did you do with what God gave you?
Yeah, this court precedence, my understanding is that even in the Mojave Desert, there was a cross that was made for a memorial to veterans. And this thing went all the way to the Supreme Court. That was challenged before, mm-hmm. and they were victorious. They were allowed to keep it.
Wow.
I think that they actually bought the property from the government, or they either leased it, one of those two things. So those options are available, and I really believe, as you know, Mike Hill just said, that we're going to be very victorious yeah. in keeping this. And we're going to set precedents yet again, and Pensacola, the city of Pensacola, is going to be put on the map. Remember that it wasn't not too long ago that the city of Pensacola, the council members, actually allowed a Satanist to pray at a city council meeting. Allegedly, it was the president at the time, you know, said that it was okay. But these are the things that happen when you open your city up to have a Satanist pray.
Right.
Now there's more challenges, you know,
which
against the
this
cross.
Person who was allowed to pray at the city council meeting, when we covered that, he was reportedly one of the four that originally brought this case, saying that this cross was offensive to us.
Four people. Amazing. We want to go straight to Pastor Joey Rogers of Pace Assembly and hear some wisdom from Pastor Joey. Watch this.
This is our window of opportunity. If we miss this, we may never get it again, as I stated in my remarks. And I will tell you, for everyone that will make their stand, it will be heard in the halls of our government. Politicians are looking for the feedback of the public. And when you've got four that are standing to say, tear it down, and you've got this amount of people that showed up, it will make all the difference in the world. I want to encourage everybody that's watching right now to make your voices heard in the right way. And if you'll do that, God will get the glory out of what took place, or even right here today, and can turn some things around.
So there's a repeated theme.
Yeah.
Take a stand, let your voice be heard, and be counted. Listen, we're going to go to a break. When we get back, you're going to hear some more interviews and more encouraging statements, letting you know that you're not alone. Because a lot of times you could be watching on TV, you're at home, and you're thinking, I'm just one person. I just have one voice. Yes, when you're by yourself, when we come together in
That's right.
unity and stand on principle, when we stand on the Word of God, when we stand on the Constitution, we are all better together and we're stronger together. Steve, isn't this encouraging?
That's refreshing. And to see believers gathering, responding to what's happening in the community in the city of Pensacola, and seeing them say, we're not standing for this, we have rights, we can peaceably assemble, and we didn't agree with this decision.
It's powerful yeah. because it encourages me to know that, listen, a group of believers in one city can come together and can stand. They become yeah. a witness for other cities across the nation,
yeah,
and saying, wait a minute, if they do it in Pensacola, we can do it here in New Jersey, we
absolutely
can do it in New York, we can do it in California and Texas. And before you know it, we have an awakened church, an awakened citizenry that says, you know what, I don't have to be taken advantage of. We don't just have to keep settling for these attacks on our religious liberties.
Absolutely.
We want to go to a businessman in the community as you hear from him on why he stopped his business and decided to be a part and to be one who was going to be counted and have his voice heard. Watch this.
And it's important because if you don't stand up for your freedom, and the cross is... it is a symbol. It is a symbol of my faith. It's not my salvation. It's a symbol of that. And well, like it's been said, if you, you know, we're only, Ronald Reagan said, we're only one generation away from not having this. We have a very unique blend of liberties. We have freedom to worship. We have financial freedom. We have a very unique blend of freedoms here. And this is just my part of showing up and doing my part, even if it was to stand here and listen and be in agreement. I was counted today. This one person was counted today. If you look around, they were all counted today because it does matter. Our elected officials understand numbers. So we have a few numbers today. There were people counted today because it's not establishing a religion. That's absolutely absurd. It's an expression, it's a symbol, and it means something. And that's why I'm here today, because it's worth more than money, a time well invested today to be counted, just this one.
While I appreciate those words from Dean Easterwood, who's also a sponsor of VFN TV, and we so appreciate Ears to Hear Hearing Center and him being one who says,
yeah,
I want to stand. I'm telling you, there's a theme here. You got to be counted. We're going to go straight to Pastor Dennis Lewis from McElwain Presbyterian Church, dear brother in the Lord, as he shares some wisdom for you and for us. Watch this.
My name is Pastor Dennis Lewis, and I'm the pastor at McElwain Presbyterian Church. Absolutely. Well, first of all, it is my personal belief that every Christian, while the Bible instructs us not to go looking for a fight, the Bible does instruct us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us with meekness and in fear. And I think this is an opportunity to do that. And what I find interesting is our government is willing to have our tax dollars in the public coffers. They're willing to have our blood on the lands and foreign wars. They're willing to have our children in their public schools, but they don't want to have our voices in the public square. They don't want to have our public symbols in the public square. And from what I read in the Constitution, and from what I read in my Bible, if our money is good enough to be in the public coffers, if our blood is good enough to be on foreign soil and die for our country, then our voices and our public symbols have a right to be in the public square. And so I think this is a good step forward in that direction, to let the people know that Christians, we have a right to speak out, and we have a right to have our symbols in the public square. It's not against the Constitution, as we've heard today. And so I was excited to come out. I was excited to hear the folks speak. And I'm excited to be here with other believers that are standing up for truth, for justice, for the cross, and for our faith. Man, listen, every time we talk to revival, I have one prayer, and my wife will tell you this for a fact. I said, honey, I want to pray that our children see revival. That's my prayer. I don't want to be selfish. As long as they see revival, I might be dead and gone, but as long as they see it. And I think when people pray for revival, they need to understand revival may not come in their generation. So what they're praying, it's for the work of God to happen. Now, it'd be wonderful if we have it in our generation. In fact, I would welcome that. I want to see that. But it may not. So I'm praying for my children and my grandchildren to see the move of the Holy Spirit. But I will say this. I believe that God answers prayers. I believe that's what separates Christianity from every other religion. Just like Elijah stood up to the prophets of Baal, I would stand up with any Muslim, with anyone of a different faith, and say, my God answers prayers, because I believe he does. And so in light of that, the only thing I would say is continue to pray, and continue to pray for revival, especially.
That's so powerful because, yes, revival is coming.
Amen.
In fact, but even more than revival, we're believing for a third great awakening. We've been seeing glimpses prophetically of what God is going to release, and we're believing for that billion soul harvest that's going to come up. But he was talking about something in particular, Steve, about the public square, because this boils down to two things as I see it here. One, does God and the cross belong in the public square? That's one conversation. And the other is the church. What are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be a part of influencing society? Are we actually relevant to the current events that are happening? And are we answering the Lord's prayer? You know, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so talks a lot about what we're trying to do through VFNKB, Kingdom Business. And we want to encourage you to be a VFN Kingdom partner because it's about influencing society for the cause of Christ, being about the Father's business. But if you remember, we talked about Newt Gingrich's book, Rediscovering God in America. You're probably seeing an image of this book. We want to encourage you, get a copy of this book. It is powerful. Because Newt goes chapter to chapter, and he begins to talk about some of the monuments that are sprinkled all across Washington, D.C. The next time someone tells you that the cross or God doesn't belong in the public square, you need to know your history.
Or people believe in the fact that our forefathers are atheists and don't believe in the Bible.
Exactly.
And the Bible had no influence on establishing America. Read this book.
Yeah, because you're going to get some insight. You're going to get some wisdom.
Right.
But the Washington Monument, for instance, you know, this was before President George Washington. My understanding, Steve, that there is no other building that's higher than the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. But you know, at the very top of this monument, it has a capstone. And the original capstone, it was engraved or written in Latin, Laus Deo, which means praise be to God.
Yeah, awesome.
I didn't know that. But how awesome is it to know that praise be to God is the highest?
Declaring to all the heavens in Washington that God is the highest.
Isn't that great? Would you read the next one about the Jefferson Memorial?
Yes. It's inscribed with the words of our third president, and it's Almighty God hath created the mind free. All attempts to influence it by temporal punishments or burthens are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion. Etched into the wall at the Lincoln Memorial is Lincoln's 267-word Gettysburg Address, which concludes with his description of America's relationship to God. He says, "We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom."
That's amazing. You know, when George Washington took his oath of office, it's reported that George Washington turned the Bible, turned to Deuteronomy 28, which talks about, you know, the blessings for obedience and the blessings for disobedience.
And the cursings for disobedience.
Yeah, the curses for disobedience. He kissed his Bible, says, listen, we need to follow the word of God as a nation. And so where do we go from here? What encourages me about this rally, because we're seeing movement, Steve, is the church getting involved.
Yeah.
Is the church no longer sitting on the sideline, but individual believers letting their voice be heard. It's the theme of what we've been talking about here in, you know, in today's program. But the power of unity. Steve, when we came together, when hundreds of people come together for this rally, they're saying, hey, my voice is being counted. I'm being counted, but the church stood in unity. And now things are turning, and it's turning for the favor.
And one of the things that Pastor Dennis talked about was the fact that how government was, they're willing to receive our children in schools, but they don't want our voice in the public square. And it's important to remember, one of the things that many people aren't aware of is that the government originally was established, and it says, by the people, for the people, and of the people. And it's the fact that when you understand that the government was put in place to serve the nation and not the other way around, it's like we've got to get that. And the fact of understanding the fact that you as believers, we do have a voice. And it's so powerful exactly what you're saying to confront that lie that I'm only one voice. And as we're seeing here in evidentiary truth, it's like all people, when they all come together, that voice can't be denied.
And it's amazing. Politicians, everyone start paying attention and say, wait a minute, we're going to have to do something.
Yeah.
And so stay tuned to VFN TV. Listen, become a VFN TV partner because we're join the movement.
Yeah.
We're helping to spread this word and get it all across the Gulf Coast. And we're going to be sharing with you and talking about a national assembly that's taking place, I believe, October the 6th. We're going to have some more details for you.
In Washington, D.C., by the way.
Yes.
In the capital of our nation.
Isn't
huge.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Listen, they're going to be setting up 50 tents, Steve.
Yeah.
50 tents for every state. And they're going to have 24 hours of prayer and worship and intercession. This is so amazing because it reminds me of David's tent. Remember when we shared about that?
Yes.
This was 24 hours, 7 days a week worship on the Nation's Mall.
In the Ellipse, or was it the mall? Okay.
Yeah, it was on the Nation's Mall.
Okay.
And I believe it was for almost a year.
Wow.
A year where worship leaders would come from all over the country. Well, now you're going to have David's tent there. You're going to have Awaken the Dawn. And I believe the call is also going to be all converging at this moment. Listen, we have been contending and praying and believing for revival, for third great awakening, and we're seeing so many prayer movements, just all these veins, if you will, that are just coming together. I want you to hear from the founder and Mike Bickle as they discuss what's going to take place at this National Assembly and how you can be a part and how you can make arrangements right now, because it's coming in October, to play a part for your state and for the nation. Watch this.
My name is Mike Bickle. I'm the leader of the International House of Prayer right here in Kansas City. And David Bradshaw is with me. And the Lord has given him this mandate for our nation of gathering people from all over America. We're talking 50 tents, a tent for each state, on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., coming this October for 3 days, 24/7 worship for every single state for 3 days. It's a most remarkable vision. And the story that you just told me of how the Lord confirmed this is remarkable. And at the end of this 3 days, then we have our beloved Lou Engel. He's having a call. So the fourth day is Lou Engel, and he's focusing on calling the women of America to stand before the Lord in a Deborah-type fashion. And you could talk a little bit about that, but there's going to be a lot of information about that as well. So David, tell us, What's on your heart about this? I mean, I know, but I would like all the House of Prayer, all the praying church people, everyone that loves Jesus and cares about America to cry out and gather together. So tell us a little bit about
this. Well, this is literally unprecedented. I mean, nothing like this has happened on the National Mall like this. Because
50 tents, each going 24 hours with worship.
Yes.
For 50 states.
Every state has a tent. And the difference between this gathering and many others is that we're inviting you to come and take your spot in the gathering.
So everybody
to help
from,
lead it.
Everybody from Kansas goes to the Kansas tent.
Yeah.
California, the California tent.
And you bring your worship team. You bring your djembes, your guitars, and throw in. Can you imagine?
Wait, each state has a national coordinator.
Right.
And you got all this on your website, I'm assuming, how they can connect with a national coordinator.
Right.
So if you want to go and bring your worship team, bring your singers, musicians, but more than that, bring your friends to come for that 3 day period, but don't forget the fourth day, the call on the National Mall with Lou Engel. I'm expecting a couple hundred thousand ladies possibly showing up to that.
Yeah. So we want to invite you to come and be part of leading this gathering. It's a procession. We're bringing the presence of God into the center of our national life.
And they're leading by leading in their tent for their state.
Your worship team can take a spot in these tents.
Because you're going 24/7 for 3 days, so we need everybody.
Exactly. Can you imagine what it will be like in Washington, D.C. with 50 plus prayer meetings covering the National Mall, and then we're going to preach the gospel to everything that breathes.
And then have a big meeting at the beginning and a big meeting at the end, and then Lou Engel's call after that.
Yeah, this is a procession.
And Lou has quite a story from the Lord, and he's got this anointing for national assignments. I mean, when Lou calls these things, people respond because the Lord's on it.
Yeah.
So you're going to be hearing a lot about the call. Now, this is October 6 to 9.
October 6 to 9,
and then the Lou's call is October 10.
October 9 is Lou's call.
October 9. 6 to 9 is the tents, and the call is on the 9th as well.
Yep. And it's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the 20-year anniversary of Promise Keepers. God's just moving around this.
And you even got a special tent 24/7 for Israel.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Well, anyway, I want to encourage you. to get the word out. We're going to give you the info about the website. Get the word out so folks can be a part of this and bring their worship teams.
Yeah.
This is the chance for them to be on the worship team. You know, here in IHOP, they won't let me be on the worship team. They say I don't sing or dance good enough. But I could make it, couldn't I?
You know, I don't know.
Maybe. Okay. Okay, give me the information.
You can pray.
Okay,
in all
there
the
you
time.
Go. Okay, I can't even make it there. Go ahead.
So go to awakenthedawn.org. You can get on there. If you have a worship team, you can sign up. If you want to volunteer, you can sign up. If you just want to register to come, you can sign up. But this is
all hands on deck.
All hands on deck. This is for everyone. Right now we have states bringing thousands of people to this thing. This is going to be a procession to bring the presence of God into our national
give
life.
Give me the website again.
Awakenthedawn.org.
Awakenthedawn.org.
That's it. So go on there and sign up, and
bless
we will
you.
See you there.
Bless you.
Go to awakenthedawn.org and sign up. Steve, yes, you can go and worship.
I love this.
Are you bringing a guitar? What are you doing?
No, I think I'm going to pass on that.
Okay, but you can pray.
Absolutely. But think about this. How many times do you hear about an event you're going to go register and watch?
Yes.
You're going to go register and see
listen.
Yeah, and see someone else do it. And they're just like, no. You've got a part to play.
I love that.
And it's just
I love that.
But what's awesome is you're seeing, you know, we've talked about recent events of just this generation just understanding the fact that I just want to just bring down heaven to earth and just call on the name of Jesus. And it's just like in the nation's capital. This is just so refreshing to see
it's
and hear.
Refreshing, exciting, encouraging. I mean, you can't give it in too many adjectives.
Yeah.
This is so hopeful for our nation, man. For over the years, how many videos and documentaries have you heard of and seen about Woodstock? I mean, this is like in the 60s, a couple hundred thousand, I don't know how many people, and it's like for a few hours. We've had so many amazing national assemblies, gatherings, on the nation's mall, all across the country.
Promise Keepers.
Listen, I was there, myself, Greg, Pat, over 1 million men on the nation's mall, repenting, praying, worshiping. There's nothing like it. It'll change your entire life.
Yeah.
And I believe it did something in our nation. God responds to this.
Men, 1 million men, the fathers. Think about this. The fathers in that generation who responded to what God was doing. And we even talked about-
They took the baton, Steve.
Exactly. We actually talked about that. To hear silence over almost that holy hush in the nation's mall of 1 million men repenting, crying out to God, saying, God, help me to be the man I need to be. And now fast forward to this generation, and you're just seeing hundreds of thousands, possibly millions, of this generation responding in that same call. It's exciting.
It's amazing. I think it's the convergence of the generations that are coming, and they're all standing together as one.
Yeah.
Church. Not too long ago, there was a call in Los Angeles at the Coliseum.
Yes.
Nothing close to 70,000-80,000 people gathered over there for that weekend.
Yeah.
That same weekend that occurred, I think there was about 25,000 to 30,000 ministers on the East Coast
in
Washington, D.C.
At the same time.
And everyone's praying. Revival. Third Great Awakening.
Yes.
And I'm encouraged, man.
Yes.
I'm encouraged because I believe that we're going to see a move of the Spirit it's unprecedented.
Yeah.
Yes, we've had pockets of revival, and we've had the Brownsville Revival and the Toronto outpouring and different moves of the Spirit here, but I think what's coming is going to be like we've never seen before.
Absolutely.
A lot of nameless and faceless people, believers, that are going to be doing the stuff, if you will.
Yeah.
They're going to be preaching and sharing and laying hands on people, and we're going to start seeing all these miracles, man. Signs, wonders, and miracles. It's for today.
I love this. And the encouraging thing is, just like you're saying that, like we're seeing, people rising up and you're about to see the nameless and faceless, but you look at it and what Greg has talked about many times on this program is that God responds to hunger. God responds to that desire of just like, I want nothing more than to come face to face with the encounter of Jesus.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program where we're keeping the conversation light.